Good morning.
Good morning.
Finished our retreat already a week ago. Hardly seems possible. I don't see any super young people here today, except for Dr. Piperl and Mademoiselle, here in front of me, my Jiko. It does seem to be the case that as we get older, time accelerates. Is that a shared experience? Yeah. I think it's a simple psychological fact that the more days you have, each day that you experience is less of the total. So they seem to go by more quickly. So this is part of our shared human experience, you know, and it enters art and literature, informs our construction of the world. So I've been experiencing that, and part of that, of course, is that the landscape, our social landscape changes. Some of our friends who were there aren't there anymore, and our family relationships change as people who were there aren't there anymore. And being a gay man myself, I have not produced offspring, so I don't have another family that I'm producing. So these are all our factors in my own experience of the world. And some of these factors have come into a different focus in holiday season, when there's a lot of emphasis on family activities and various kinds of social events. And commemorating certain family rituals. So I personally don't have much family left right now. It's just me and my brother, and as I've been mentioning, a kind of a family matriarch. Of mine recently passed away, so that's a milestone in my own life. So as I believe I also mentioned, it's made for a kind of a somewhat difficult feeling around these last few weeks. And the other day I realized that I haven't really been practicing kind of, I guess I would say, hard enough. Or maybe another way to put it is sailing close enough to the wind. It's another way to put it. So my sailing was a little sloppy. So I was strolling up 18th the other day and I thought, oh Lord, another Dharma talk coming up. How am I going to explain that? And then I thought, echoing Dogen, I thought, oh, hard to explain. Easy to do. It's actually quite easy to do. sailing close to the wind means to set aside our habitual encumbrances, which really is most everything. Virtually all of our, what we could call our baggage, is illusory. And again, that's very hard to explain. And the only way to know that is through some, you might say, constantly revised and renewed experience of our body-mind in its genuineness. And for many of us, that comes through some practice like sitting, a reintroduction to ourselves, if you like, just as we are. Again, hard to explain, easy to do. A local physician was heard to say to his father, isn't it enough that the universe is able to be aware of itself? And his father was heard to complain, no, it's not. But I actually thought, yeah, actually that's pretty good, it is enough. And in fact, that's another way to speak of actually our life. And practice is a kind of radical simplification of that appreciation, where even the mind of deliberate appreciation is allowed to subside. And the universe simply reflecting in its own nature is all that's taking place, and that there's not even any need to admire that. This is known as turning the light, except that there is no person turning it. The light of its nature turns. So, how do I explain that? Well, I don't. Instead, I invite us again into that practice, which around here we call just sitting. Strolling up 18th Street and examining my discomfort, I was reminded of the possibly legendary great master Bodhidharma listening to the whining of his student, Hoika, who said, you know, my mind is troubled, teacher. And Bodhidharma, this being the Zen school, said, oh yeah? Well, that's okay. Give me your troubled mind and I will pacify it for you. And since this is one of those hoary old Zen stories, I'm sure one of you will know what Bodhidharma said. Somebody know what Bodhidharma said?
Doesn't Vega say something
back? Yeah. That's right. Does somebody... Yes, sorry. When invited to produce his troubled mind, what does Waiko say?
Can't find it.
That's right. Waiko says, presumably after a pregnant pause, Waiko says, well, I looked for my troubled mind and I couldn't find it. And Bodhidharma said, voila, I have pacified your mind. That'll be $150, please. Now, of course, it sounds like a Zen joke, but it was also an experience in brief therapy and a meditation instruction where Bodhidharma was inviting Weka to allow the light to turn, and instead of attempting to unravel the knot of what he presumed to be his existential discomfort, to rest in the nature of what was unfolding moment by moment, without trying to come to some conclusion or resolution about anything, without trying to grab the end of the knot of his dilemma and pull it to pieces. That is, inviting him to allow the light to turn in that moment. And in so doing, to allow his own nature to express itself completely right then and there. And to at least realize that the Buddha's ancestors had made available to him the possibility of the Dharma gate of repose and bliss being extended to him, being opened for him, moment after moment, just as for all beings. And that, in fact, he was stepping through it at that instant. Now, some have called that a trick, which I think is perhaps that's true to an extent, but not in any really meaningful way. It's only a trick insofar as it can cause us to glance away from the enchantment of our own habitual preoccupations long enough for the spell of ordinariness to be broken through, so that the power of the stillness of the present moment can ring like a bell and catch our attention, and that the sound of that truth can resonate with us, and an instant like that can change someone's life forever, as it is suggested is the case for Weka. So such moments are always available, we are told. And extraordinariness of the universe being able to be aware of itself has been, we're so habituated to that. that this spell of ordinariness tends to obscure this possibility moment by moment. So we wind up doing these practices that can cut through this spell of ordinariness. And so we do these kind of peculiar, extraordinary things, like sit still in the cold, in the dark. Bodhidharma's further instructions, of course, are well, they're along the same lines. He says things like, things that fly in the face of the usual Christmas season exhortations. He says, all that stuff out there, the reindeer and the tinsel and the all that stuff, don't mess with that. And then all that stuff in there, all of the internalized Christmas carols and the longings for presents and the loathings of relatives, all that, don't mess with that either. Just a kind of be as still and settled as an ancient wall in the city of Pompeii, which hasn't done anything for quite a few centuries now. Just like that. And like that, you manifest the ancient way. Now, some people think that means, you know, to be dead and static, but that's not at all what he means. It means to be settled, simple and straightforward, and upright. Not fussy or fidgety or compromised or waffling. Just still in your own nature. That's all. Thus, says Bodhidharma, we are entering the way over and over again. And this instruction is repeated in different forms, generation after generation, century after century. Dogen says, as we were chanting at the noon hour during our retreat, he says, you know, if the least like or dislike arises, the mind is lost in confusion. He wasn't saying, you know, if you get something for lunch and look at it and go, hmm, or you go, ugh. He was saying, if you're tripped up by that or caught by it or think that that's really real, that's when you will get confused. It's not the arising, it's the catching. It's the mistaking that for the trap of reality. Then you'll get confused. Then you'll forget the ancient wall at Pompeii. This is the same as Bodhidharma's instruction. Well, then what do I do? Well, it's okay. Just go back to the wall. At some point, inevitably, you will notice, I was a little confused there. And then just go back to the taste of the soup, whether it's like you or hmm. Just that is enough. Just that is the light turning. That's all. This is the same as sitting still in your own, our own, this radiant nature. That's all. This is why I say easy to do, hard to explain. And in one way or another, thousands and thousands of pages have been written about the universe being aware of itself. And I think probably hundreds of pages, and at some point, probably millions of pages will have been written about how the brain is somehow the universe being aware of itself, and this the anterior cingulate framus is talking to the posterior something or other, and that's what it's doing. So that's another formulation. But it amounts to much the same thing. So as Bodhidharma might have said, or maybe it's a Republican presidential candidate, it's all good. Maybe it was a Democrat, I don't know. Somebody. Yes?
You know, it's the stuck back in the troubled mind.
Yes, please.
Don't we have to deal with the trouble at some point?
Well, sure. Like what? Like the upcoming art show?
Troubling you, mm-hmm. At some point you have to deal with that condition or that person or that situation.
Sure.
So the idea is just not to be...
The idea is...
Or what?
The idea is to deal with the next thing, whatever it is. As not apart from yourself. There'll always be something to deal with, the next thing. But if we set it out there, the next thing you know, we're tilting at windmills. And we've compartmentalized the universe into us and them, self and other. And we're aggravating the situation. We so to speak, we haven't actually, but we'll think we've lost the light. The mind is lost in confusion. We are in a maze, a twisting little maze of likes and dislikes again. And we'll just feel worse. So, then what do? Back to the taste of the soup, whether it's yum or ew. Right? So yeah, of course there'll be things to deal with. So then, okay, sail closer to the wind, which means back to the taste of the soup, which is what I was reminding myself walking up 18th Street and feeling, I don't feel so good, you know? Which, among other things, among all the other so-called external things in my own life, this new medicine I'm taking, which is actually making me feel a little funny. So there's a number of things to deal with, but like, let's get back to the close to the wind here and not, you know, start unnecessarily tacking back and forth and forgetting how basic and simple this practice actually is. Does that speak to your question?
Thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
So if things start to seem like horribly complicated and oh my God, what's my practice? And all this stuff is like, just remember, it's actually really simple. And if that seems like, wait, I can't remember, what was it again? Then we should talk to our friends, because that's often very helpful. Like, what was that simple practice again? Maybe somebody can help us with that. Yes.
Listening to the story of Bodhidharma and his student, could part of the problem have been that his student was perhaps expecting something like he wanted to feel good all the time, and he
didn't
fully understand it that.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. As I was walking up 18th Street, I was perhaps hoping that by the time I reached Castro Street, I would like to feel much better. And I mean, that would have been okay too, but that was also part of the issue. It's like, well, how about I drop that? And how about start with, let's feel how we feel first and not try to go somewhere else first. Let's start from zero and see how that is. Let's have that be the basic jewel of practice right now. And not try to, you know, grab something better. Reach for the brass ring as I'm going round and round. So yeah, I think that's right. And Bodhidharma's lesson was, don't grab for that. Because the jewel of your mind is nowhere else than where you are right now, believe it or not. And as a later Zenist would say, ah, such a pity. Yes.
So, I'm sort of hearing that really the role of the friend is not to help you gang up on the soup, mm-hmm. but more that calling back to practice. So, say that the true friend may actually be a little bit of the tough love friend at the same time of come back over here, you know, come back upright, you're tipping, instead of I'll help you lean further over here.
Yeah, well, the true friend might say, well, how does it taste? Even if it's like, oh, not very good, it's kind of burned. Yeah, it's kind of burned, you're right. Yeah. I don't know about that tough love thing, you know. That takes a lot of skill. Some applications of that I've seen seem to have more of the tough and less of the love in it. Like there's some aggression in there sometimes. But if you can say, well, yeah, it is kind of burned, you know, that's good. And watch out for that anger getting in there. That's good. The true friend will be there in the burned soup with you without trying to do anything about it. They're in the soup with you. That's right.
My teaching has always been not to give advice
mm-hmm.
to others, but just listen.
Yeah.
You know, that's. I don't feel like I can help someone else find their practice. They have to do that. I mm-hmm. may be able, through listening, and mm-hmm. asking questions, help them.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I don't try it. I don't know where they are.
Right. Well, you can be with them, right? That's being in the soup with them. Right. You don't have to give advice, although sometimes it's very obvious. Like, I mean, you know, it is sometimes really clear that somebody should stop drinking a bottle of scotch a day. I mean, sometimes it's just like really obvious. And it's like you can like, gently, tentatively suggest, you know, and maybe they're not ready to hear that, but maybe they are. In which case, that's not even advice exactly. It's like, most of the world is telling them, you know, that's not maybe very good for you. So that's okay. But really it is about being there with them and listening to them without intruding your own agenda. But even if being with them where they are is difficult and painful, you're there. And that's really it. Did you have a comment, Terry?
I was just this thing about advice. I was just thinking about my relationship with my sister,
mm-hmm.
who she died 2.5 years ago. But I mean, for a long time, I felt since she was my younger sister, I was supposed to save her and all that. And I finally realized, okay, no, that's not working. And then I just became very supportive of her. what she was doing. But there were moments where I felt, uh-oh, no. And sort of exercised my prerogative as a big sister.
Yeah.
And because I was supportive of her almost always, she immediately recognized
you could do that.
That, yeah, oh, she'd gotten off track in a way that she couldn't see herself and I could see.
Right.
And she always respected that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really because I almost always was just...
You were upright with her.
I was trying very hard to be upright.
Right. That was your uprightness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
I come from sort of a long line of people who all know better than everybody else. and there is a kind of an uprightness to it,
mm-hmm.
everyone's playing. There's a Franny, my parents weren't in Franny and Zooey by J.D. Salinger, but my advice is everyone should read Franny and Zooey by J.D. Salinger.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point where the matriarch is telling her son, who's extremely particular, there's some people who just won't have anything to do with because he's a great artist and actor, you know, and he only will deal with certain people. And she says to him, you can't get through life with such strong likes and dislikes, whatever you may think, young man. And I thought, well, the Dharma talk is in the whatever you may think, young man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, thinking, well, what is it that keeps, it is never apart from one right where one is, so what is it that keeps people from just sort of seeing what's going on all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And one thought I had, I heard the poet Maya Angelou speaking at a Glide event a couple of years ago, about forgiveness, and she says, sometimes you just rather hold that grudge. I think it's true, not just towards people, but towards the universe. Sometimes you just hold that grudge.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. And the other is, you can be, maybe coming close to that experience of things kind of opening up and relaxing and feel, am I worthy of this?
Uh-huh.
Who am I to take this step? So, mm-hmm.
Well, that's when you touch the earth, it's when you call your mom.
Yeah.
Say, can I do this? And your mom says, yes, dear.
Whatever you may think,
dear. You're worthy of this. All beings support you to do this. Sit still, be upright.
Actually, can. Yeah. So is that what it's Dogen, right? It says that if you want to experience suchness, you should practice suchness without delay.
Yeah.
And
That's the translation, which may not quite capture it, but yeah.
Oh, what's it better?
Well, I'm not sure that the English could capture the Chinese, which I think says something more like, well, I don't speak Chinese, so want such, be such.
Okay.
So it's not like go do such.
Okay.
Almost more, it's more like want such, are such.
Oh, okay.
Are such a person. Not go do such, are such a person. That's the practice. That's no delay. Not go do that. Are such a person. That's our practice. Not go learn how to do that. Our practice is, since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? That's the meditation instruction. So that's why during our retreat I was saying, don't worry. Don't worry about that. That's our practice.
At least you didn't say be happy.
Oh, I could do that next time.
the 60s, or that was kind
of... I was Meher Baba, who was, you know, he's a right-on guy.
Was that one of Vison's favorites?
Was it?
Yeah.
He used to like to say, don't worry, be happy. Don't forget the third part,
which was
do the best you can.
Do the best you can. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, on that note, there's probably a lot of stuff to do at the moment. Yeah. We have our wonderful art show, sale, auction thing tomorrow. I hope you'll all be there and bring all your friends and pots of money and stuff. Let's see, next Saturday is Christmas Eve.
New Year's Eve. Huh? Oh, Christmas
Next Eve. Saturday is Christmas Eve, so I think we won't be here. So stay home and roast some chestnuts by the open fire, and then Saturday after that is New Year's Eve, so we'll have our late night sitting, and you're all invited, of course. So join us for holiday events, and have your own holiday events, please. And don't worry, be happy, and do the best you can. Thank you very much.
May our intention be